burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. And this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for your word. And we thank you that your word is a word of grace to us, and how we need your grace. Lord, we ask that you will, like as you showed Sharon, Lord, that this grace would put in us a changed heart, a heart that begins to overflow, Lord Jesus, with love, joy, and peace. Lord, I pray that you would just keep asking us those questions, Lord, whether we've experienced this grace or not. And I pray, Lord, that as we're in your word, even now, and as we go to the table later, Lord, that there wouldn't be a soul here that would not be able to say, yes, I have experienced this grace. I know this joy, and I know this peace that comes from God alone. So we ask this, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So you will go out in joy, be led forth in peace. Remember the people that Isaiah is talking to, he's talking to the people of Israel, Judah, in exile. They're not home. They're in Babylon. And this is a people that have seen a devastating effect of being ripped out of their homes and out of their customs and out of the familiar places of the temple and of worship. And they are now in this foreign land, and they've been here for years, and Isaiah is saying, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. You'll be led forth with joy. You'll go out with peace. It's time to go home. But the strange thing is, some people don't want to go home. Some people don't want to leave exile. Some people don't want to go home. See, Judah, she's in exile, and she knows why she's in exile. She was in exile because she's guilty of leaving God. God made a covenant with the people, his people, and he had a purpose for them to be a people of worship, that they would be a people who would live to worship God, and they failed their end of the covenant because they would not obey his word. They would not obey his laws, and so because of that, they left God. And God said, okay, I'll lift my hand, and Babylon will come, and they'll rip you out of the land, and they will take you out into this foreign land, and you'll live as an exile people. So there she is in Babylon, a people who over years and years and years have learned to live as people uprooted from their homeland without anything familiar that would give them any sense of home or belonging or things or an identity as a people. And now God is saying it's time to go home. Some of them don't want to go home. Why is it? Why is that they don't want to go home? Perhaps when you live in an exile place, and the dreams that you have of being a people are just not, they're shattered. The things that were familiar to you, the things that you relied on as customs are no longer. And you learn to live with that, and you start to feel powerless to do anything about it. Years and years and years. Living like this, powerless and helpless. And then over time, it's ambivalence. Who cares? Time to go home? What's the point? It's not like we're ever going to be a people again. It's not like anything's going to be like it used to be. Why go home? So you can kind of see why some people wouldn't go home. Sometimes you get stuck in an old dream. A dream of what it used to be. A dream that you used to have, and now the dream is shattered on the ground. And you get stuck in that dream, and you cannot think of what life could be without that dream. I remember when I was playing football in high school, and I know some of you are thinking, oh, great, another guy is going to talk about his high school football days. Come on, stuck in the past, move on. But this isn't one of those glory stories. I didn't score a touchdown. So It was actually not a glorious start. It's the opposite. It was about halfway through the season. I was a bench player. I was second string cornerback. I really wanted to play first string. But there was this guy in front of me who was just really good. And so we did a drill about halfway through the season. We did this drill. The running back was going to come, and he was going to come this way out of the snap and then go out so he would be open for a pass in the flat. Okay? So my job as the cornerback was to go up to him and just hit him, disrupt him. Don't let him go out into the flat, you know, make him even knock him down if possible. Try to get him, you know, out of his rhythm, whatever. What, you can't see me doing that? All right, I'm putting that aside. So I go up to him. Okay, so I had it all figured out. I was just going to go. This running back was going to come, do his thing. I was going to go and, you know, just give him a good bump and then perhaps try to even catch the pass that's going to be thrown at him. So I had it all figured out. You know, I really wanted to do well. I wanted to be first string. So running back comes out. I come up to hit him. But before I can get my arm up to hit him, he puts his head down and his shoulder down and lays right into me right here. And I'm on the ground. And he's going out, catches the pass, and everyone's laughing. Totally the opposite that was supposed to happen. He was supposed to be on the ground, not me. And I knew when I heard the guys chuckling, I knew that something happened to that hope of getting first string. Because I messed up the drill. And it was about halfway through the season. And at that point, I just felt like, well, first of all, there goes my rep as a tough cornerback. So, your laughs were kind of accurate on that one. But, you know, I thought I figured it out. I thought I knew what to do. And then he came and he did something I didn't expect. And now I'm on the ground. And I felt bad. And then I go home and I just replayed it. I replayed the situation in my head. Here comes the running back. What would I do differently? How would I be able to get this guy from not hitting me? How could I actually get him on the ground and put his head down? You know, I replayed the whole thing so that I would end up on top of that, but it was just replaying it in my head. And then I just kind of got down on myself, just doubted my ability. And weeks after that, I lost the real fervor to keep going, to really, you know, put the hits on and really do the drills with everything I could. And then I thought about the guy who came out and hit me. He was this junior guy. He was a junior. I was a senior. He was a junior. What's this junior doing hitting me? So I thought back, I'm going to get him. And there's going to be a drill coming up, and I hope I get him, and I'm going to pay back. Vengeance is mine, says Jeff. And then after some time, you know, never really got that opportunity, never got to hit him back or whatever, and then I just stopped caring. Yeah, I'll just play out the rest of the season. You know, I thought, and it was about 3/4 of the way through the season, that I thought, oh, that's just, you know, it's been a good ride, I gave it my, you know, best, whatever. Just kind of coasted from there. You ever have a dream like that? You just get it disrupted? Somebody, you know, maybe it's a house that you were trying to buy, you know, and you're all the way, you know, into escrow, and then something just happens. Something just spoils it, and it just comes and hits you. It hits you before you could hit it. And you're down on the ground, you know? You ever have a dream like that just got disrupted? Or maybe you were really putting on your cards and climbing a career path. You know, you thought you were on your way. You were getting promoted, you got a favor, and then something happened. Some project or some client just falls through, whatever. And the dream's on the floor, and you're on the floor. Dreams get disrupted. Been there? What's the dream that you've had that got disrupted? It was a relationship. Maybe it was the sense of achievement. You know, you really wanted to
achieve more and more, you put all your joy, your faith into the thing that you can achieve, and you just stopped achieving for whatever reason. Just couldn't hit the mark anymore. Or maybe you hit the mark and the joy that you thought would come from it wasn't there. And that can be a way that the dream shatters too. How did your dream? What was your dream and how did it shatter?
Think about it. Maybe you went through the same kinds of things I did. You felt like you were on the ground and other people were laughing. You felt defaced. Or maybe you saw that dream shatter and you started dwelling on the past. Oh, how could I recoup this? What could have been different? And then you started doubting yourself. I don't think I can make anything. And then just get ambivalent, disengage. Just going to withdraw, not going to even try. Who cares? I don't care. You tie your joy and your peace to the dream. And if it's a dream that in this birth fades away, then when that dream falls, what happens? You get discouraged, depressed, and ambivalent, and you just pull out. That's what happens, isn't it? And you tie your joy and your peace to a dream that really is just for this world. It's just stuff that fades, whatever it might be. Maybe your dream was to be a good mom or a good dad, and something is wrong with your kids. And what happened? Think about your emotions. Just kind of tie into your emotions for a minute. You know, when do you get discouraged? What is it that causes discouragement in your life? When do you get depressed? When do you just get down? What are those things that just bring you down? Be honest about that. Be honest about where you get that discouragement, when you get it. What this passage has been talking to us about is, you lied. Remember in the first verse, it says, God is asking this question. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy my wine and milk without money and without cost. And then he asks this question, verse 2. Why spend money on what's not bread? And your labor on what doesn't satisfy? See, that's the question. We tie our joy and our peace to things that ultimately will not satisfy. Ultimately will fade away. And when we tie our joy and our peace to those things, then when they don't pan out, and they're not everything that they could be, then we get depressed, and we get discouraged, and we get down. And God is saying, why are you spending on things that will not satisfy? What is that dream for you that got disrupted? And how did you tie your joy and your peace to those things? And God is saying, tie your joy and peace to my grace. Tie your joy and peace to my grace. I purchased grace for you. It's free of cost. The very thing that you hope for from the loyalty of your friends and they fall through. Or the career that fell apart. The thing that you put all of your joy and peace and your money and your time and your energy into, and it falls apart. I have purchased that which you're really looking for. It's a relationship with me. It's an everlasting love that secures your life for all eternity. It's forgiveness. It's a righteousness that you could never afford yourself, but I give to you through my Son. Come. Come to me. God is saying, tie your joy and peace to my grace as I've given it to you through my Son, Jesus. He's the one who he's speaking about in verse 3. Come, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My love, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Who is that? Who is the leader and commander of the peoples? It's our Lord. It's Jesus, the one who comes full of grace and truth. He's the one who comes to purchase this grace on our behalf by being the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who lays his life down so that through his purchase we have this grace. Friends, this is where you can tie your joy and your peace. Tie your joy and your peace to Jesus. So God is saying, tie your joy and your peace to Jesus. He is the one who is the provision of grace in your life. Well, how can I, you might ask, how can I tie myself to Jesus? How can I have a relationship with you when I have been spending my whole life finding joy and peace in everything else but God? How can I find this joy and peace in God? How can I come when I've sinned against Him? And that's real. That's a real question. How do we have a relationship with a God who we've been ignoring all of our lives? The answer is very clear in verse 7. See, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Okay, I will. Let him turn to the Lord. Okay, I will, but what will happen then? He will have mercy on them. To our God, for he will freely pardon. What will happen when you turn to God? He will freely pardon you. The grace that you want is free. It's free. If you turn to Him. The moment you turn to Him. You want your joy and peace to be linked to God, and you just don't know what to do with your sin. Know for sure that when you do, God will freely pardon. Freely pardon. That's Jesus. It's in Jesus. Well, how do I know this is going to happen? Because my word, when I send it out, it accomplishes what I send it to do. Verse 11. Right? There it is. So my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire. God is committed to your joy and peace. And He will forgive and pardon you for you to have that joy and peace. You know, God is very serious about your joy. Very serious about your joy. He's more serious about your happiness than you are. Because He's willing to give Jesus for you to have it. And His word is true. His word is true. So, when we receive this grace, we become a very peculiar people. A particular people in the world. Because now we've tied our joy and our peace to Jesus, to God. Which makes us a very different people. We eat a different bread. We worship that which nobody else worships. We live in the world offering grace to people freely because we don't trust in the world. We don't use people. We offer grace to people. This experience of grace that gives us this joy and peace in our lives is the very same thing that we then give to others. And so it makes us a very strange people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people belonging to God. That we might show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His glorious light. This is what we are to be. And this is where chapter 56 takes us. But we can't go to 56 until we can ask ourselves and really ask ourselves this. Have I truly experienced the grace of God so completely that joy is what operates in my life and peace is what covers me and makes me whole? Because when you go out into the world and you share, you might share the gospel of this grace with a Muslim or with a friend or co-worker, and you might hear somebody ridicule you. You might hear somebody say, how narrow-minded of you to think that, you know, there's just one religion with one way. You know, you can believe what you want, but just, you know, let everyone else believe what they want. Don't be so narrow-minded. And you hear that. But if joy is in your heart, it won't matter. Because you're not depending on them liking you. You're already extremely liked by God. You are God's beloved. That's where that joy comes from. The joy comes from a God who has so freely pardoned you and brought you into the life of His Son that you don't really need to hear the approval of other people. You don't really need to go out and try to make your boss like you at work, or make your parents like you, or achieve so much that you will try to gain brownie points from your ministry leaders. You don't need to do any of that. You just go out and offer grace. And if someone rejects you for it, it's okay, because there's this joy unspeakable in your life. Is that joy yours? Is your relationship with God such that this joy and peace is flooding your life? Peace, shalom, shalom. Wholeness, well-being over your life. Wholeness of life. Is there a peace, a wholeness in your life that comes from having a restored relationship with God and His Holy Spirit giving you this peace? Where you can go out into the world and say, you know, when peace like a river attends my way and sorrows like billows roll, whatever my lot, oh Lord, you have taught me to say, it is what? Well, it is well with my soul. That's peace. That's peace that passes understanding. That's peace that comes when you have immersed yourself into Jesus and you know that God speaks His peace over your life. And that's a peace that will not let you go. And what these verses then say is, here's where this grace takes you. Verses 12 and 13 say, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Who's going to lead you? Someone's leading you. Someone's taking you out. Who is it? Jesus. You have Jesus Himself as your bodyguard, as your escort. He's got your front, your back, your sides. He's got you. He's covered you in His peace. So you go out in joy, be led forth in peace. Why? Because the presence of Jesus, the presence of Yahweh Himself surrounds you. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. Now, I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord. You go out surrounded by the presence of God. That's peace. Why? Because this grace has been tied to Jesus. And that's real joy and that's real peace. That grace protects you. We sing it. And grace will lead me home. When you don't have to worry about trying to achieve so other people will like you, when you don't have to worry about trying to find joy in the things that this world has to offer, or in relationships or anything else, because you know you have this joy and peace that has been given to you through the person of Jesus Christ, and you've just entrusted yourself, embraced the Savior, clung to Him, entrusted yourself so much so that you've immersed yourself into Jesus, the leader and commander. He'll take you home, and He will guard you with His peace and His grace. God is saying to Israel, when you look at the last verse, what is God saying to Israel? He's saying, instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, instead of briars the myrtle will grow. The thorn bush and the briars are desert kinds of shrubs. You know, to get from Babylon back to Israel, you had to go through the desert. And God is saying, when you go through that desert, I want to tell you something. It's going to be grace and joy that not only fills your life, but all of a sudden when you are going out in this grace, it's going to permeate creation around you. See, what He's referring to is that day. That day, God is going to make everything right. And the trees of the hill, the trees will clap their hands. The whales will clap their hands on the ocean. You know? I mean, everything in creation, oh, creation is groaning for this day. But when we as God's people go out into the world and we offer this joy and this peace that's in our lives, and the rest of the world looks and says, what a peculiar people. They don't trust in the things that we do. They don't try to be liked by people. They look like a people who God owns. That is going to be a testament to the world around us that God is in the process of making this world right. This world will one day be made right. All of creation will be made right. Everything that's going wrong in the world. There will be no more terrorists who blow up hotels in Pakistan. There will be no more incredible lunacy of war. There will be no more death. There will be no more genocide in Sudan. There will be no more. And the world will know that that's going to happen when they see a people of God filled with joy and peace, giving it away in the world. And that comes when you have immersed yourself in the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. So for those who are stuck at home, and they're saying, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. Oh, let this word grace be such an invitation from God once again that says, it's time. It's time to go home. Everything that you're looking for in Babylon, you will not find it. Right? Judah was making alliances with every other nation in the world, trying to leverage their political power, and that all turned on them. You won't find it. You won't find it. And God is still inviting everyone, come to my grace. Come to my grace in my Son, Jesus Christ. And when you immerse yourself in Him, you will go home. And it's a home that I have prepared for you. It's a home that is waiting for you. It's not here. And we will be as a people on our way home as we offer this joy, full of this joy, full of this peace, and we offer this grace to the world around us. Do you know this joy? Do you know this peace? What are the old dreams that you have yet to let go of, that you've tied your joy and your peace to? And you're still on the ground like I was in that football drill. You're on the ground reeling from a broken dream, and you just don't want to get up because you don't believe you can. And God is saying, get up. Somehow in the midst of all of that, about 3 weeks after that drill was done, I got up. I realized, you know, what am I doing moping around? And I spent the last 4 weeks of the season getting back up, starting hitting people. And I started doing the things that I really wanted to do because I realized I was somehow able to overcome. I didn't need other people. It didn't matter if they laughed at me. It didn't matter what they said about me. It didn't matter. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have fun playing football. And one of the things that my coach said, you know, they have these club dinners at the end, you know, where at the end of the season, and just kind of do appreciation kinds of things. And I still hadn't entered into the first string at all. But my coach said something that was really meaningful to me. He said, you know, Jeff's a guy who's got the kind of character who, it doesn't matter what happens, he's going to endure. He's going to be persistent. He's going to keep going at it. That's what God is saying to us when we say, look, it doesn't matter. Do it because you love me. When you love me, you come to my Son, Jesus, I'll fill you with my love. I'll fill you with my grace. I'll fill you with my peace. And go out and have fun. Give it away. And as you give it away, I'll lead you home. Because my Son is your rear guard. My Son will keep you. He will keep you from stumbling. You'll never fall out of His purposes. You'll never fall out of His plan. We will go out and be a blessing to the people around us because we have been so blessed. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the confidence that we can have about how it's all going to end. That everything is going to ultimately end with every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, thank you that we have the gift today of your Son. That even before that day, we can arise up and move forward in the grace and the joy and the peace that we have in you. And Lord, as we go to the table now, we remember that this grace was at such a great cost to you. While it is free for us, it cost you everything. Lord, thank you, Lord, that this love that you displayed on the cross, where you gave everything, is the same love that you have for us right now in this moment. I pray, Lord, for every life that is here today. Perhaps they've been somehow got shifted away from grace. It's not about grace anymore. Even those who've come to know you, Lord Jesus, it somehow grace got lost. And it became about performance. It became about how effective we are. And somehow we lost the joy. We lost the peace. Lord, there are lives here today, I know. Lord, I know there are lives here today that have somehow lost that joy, somehow lost that peace, somehow lost that love that first compelled them to serve and to give their lives away to witness. And Lord, that's gone because somehow it stopped being about grace. Jesus, call out to each life here today. Call out, inviting, as you do so softly and tenderly, just call out each person by name to come and hide in your grace today. So that the joy of our salvation will be renewed and we'll go out and be let forth in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.